Thank you for the blessing you have put upon our lives. Thank you for gathering together to listen, to learn from your word, so we can live by it. We ask that your precious spirit will breathe upon your word and open our heart to see how to use it well in Jesus' name. But we know that our coming here is not in vain. You said those who seek you diligently, you will reward them. So we ask that the effect be seen in our lives as we come for your word in Jesus' name. Father, we also pray for our city, our state, our nation. We pray for peace. We pray for your help to help our country, help our economy, and strengthen our institutions in Jesus' name. Above all, we want to see men saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, working with you. That's what you are really after. And we pray that the gospel will go further and reach more lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome. Please have your seat. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you. So we just come for service in rain and everything. Thank you so much for coming. Let's do something very, very beautiful today. Let's go to John 14. I want to do something practical, something clearer that we can use in our life. That will be of great help for us. Let's go to John 14, verse 27. I'm designing to do more. Let's dig into this verse now to leave. This is one of the most practical benefits of Christianity we are going to explore today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Jesus specifically picked the word peace I want to give you. Peace is so important. Let's go to Romans 14. Let's go to Romans 14. If you are in the kingdom of God, let's go to verse 17. Romans 14, 17. I want you to see what the kingdom of God is. Romans 14, 17. Can we read it together? Let's read it together. For the kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness. Next one. Peace. Next one. Joy in the Holy Spirit. I want you to see this. We pray one prayer. Your kingdom come. Am I correct? Your will be done on earth. So when we pray about the kingdom of God, what are we really expecting? Expecting not just eat and drinking, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These three things, righteousness, peace, and joy, characterize our Christian life. When I say I'm a Christian, when I say I'm a child of God, there must be a sense of rightness in my life. You know, when I become a Christian, I start having this mentality of, this is right, this is wrong. If I don't have that sense of right and wrong, that I know, listen to this. As a child of God, I must have a sense of doing things right. The Bible said, Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. See, when Abraham believed, he became right with God. And that rightness with God was carried to everywhere. Let me tell you, the real thing we lost in the Garden of Eden was righteousness. When the man and his wife ate the fruit, they ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, good and evil. But something was lost there, our sense of rightness. No longer right with God. That's when God came down in the cool of the day, he ran off. Hallelujah. So now that we became Christian, there should be a sense of righteousness. We want to, marriage is good, but I want it right. Hallelujah. Money is good, but I want it right. I just don't want it money anyway. I want it in the right way. So every child of God, there's a sense of hungry and thirsty, like my wife said on Sunday, the second service, hungry and thirsty for what is right. Hallelujah. But accompany that is a sense of peace and joy. Let me tell you, these are the three things I particularly protect in my life. I want to wake up I want to do anything with a sense of right. I don't, how many of you, be honest here now, how many of you, you've been wrong about something, you have been right about it, what's the difference? Let me explain one more. You know, you're doing something, you're not just feeling all right about it. The moment you make an amendment, you feel, let me give an example. If you're fighting with your husband or with your wife, you know, you may be doing all those things, but you know, there's something not right. Am I right? The moment you settle like this, there's something that just, anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't know, you're not one of us. People can feel it. He said, so I'm talking about righteousness, then there's peace. You see, peace is as tangible as power. What do I say? Power is important, but it's also peace. Peace is as tangible as power. You know, we use the word purpose, we use the word power, we use the word peace. Peace is that state of heart where you are just coming from everything right. Let me give an example. If you ever have a generator before, you start starting it, it just something just bugs you until you start. Am I right? Moment that generator starts like that and start, have you noticed that? You know, it starts right. So when it starts like that, you can go inside, you can go and sit down. But if it doesn't start, you don't feel all right. But the moment it starts right, then you feel peace. You feel that. That is just there. Every Christian must treasure that word peace. That things are not out of shape. Are you hearing me? I'm getting very practical today. This is what you should treasure. And then the word joy. Every Christian, you see, if I lose my joy for 1 minute, I will do everything to get it back. I will do everything to get that sense of gladness and rejoicing back. I'm not dancing on the surface. I'm not, but there's this sense of gladness, of just being happy, not because of circumstances, but inside of you. We will talk about that another time. Jesus said, my joy I also give you. Remember that? These things are my joy in you. So Jesus had these fantastic things. You know, Jesus was the king of the kingdom. So he had peace in abundance. Nothing moved him. In the midst of the storm, he was sleeping. He hadn't changed the situation yet, but he was still sleeping. The disciples were all torn up and, you know, jacking, moving kind of a thing. Jesus just woke up and said, peace be still. You know what? I love that. There was enough peace in him that when he sent it out, it went out. So peace, we will talk about that today. Then we'll talk about, let's go. Let's go to Isaiah 55, talking about peace. My peace I live with you. Not as the world gives. Let's go back to John chapter 14, verse 27. For those who are joining us, let's see that. One more time. Peace I live with you. My legacy. Isn't that very interesting? My peace I give to you, not somebody else's peace. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. You see, the world has been chasing peace for years. They never gotten it. Lebanon, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, IPOB, Yoruba Nation. It's everywhere. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it be afraid. So we're going to spend, you know, I've got a lot of things to do in this. I hope we finish in 30 years' time. John, you know, got a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, but let's just park here. My peace I live with you. You can experience this peace. He said, it's not just only just theory and figures. I want you to have peace. I'm leaving it with you. I'm giving it to you. I'm leaving it with you, and I'm giving it to you. You see, I can leave something with you. I may not touch it. I may say, give these dollars for me, but don't spend it. But Jesus is saying, I'm leaving my peace with you, and I want you to just enjoy it. I'm giving you. Now, I'm not giving you as the word gives that will not have any kind of permanent benefit for you, but I'm giving you my peace. Say that with me. I have peace from Jesus. I have peace. One more time. I have peace from Jesus. Okay, let's look at what this peace will do. Let's go to Isaiah 55. We're going to see the first one, and we're going to just trace it along with ourselves. This is the best of, this is the most practical part of Christianity. What peace will do to you? Oh, my, man. Isaiah 55. Glory to Jesus. Let me find the verse. Isaiah 55. You know, we're talking about, hallelujah. Are you here with me? Look at verse 13. Let's read verse 13. Isaiah 54 first. Isaiah 54. Sorry, Isaiah 54. We'll come back to this one. Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your children, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ, and the family that you have. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace. The peace, the calmness, the quietness of your children. Do you, is Pelomedia, can you find out, can you give us NIV? Another word for that peace. Let's look at maybe NIV or RSV or something. Yeah, saying the same thing. Can you give us RSV or something? Any other Bible, just give us, run through it. Give us Amplified Classic. Great will be your children's peace. Yeah, give us Amplified Classic. Just want to see something there. Yeah. Beautiful. All your spiritual children shall be disciples taught by the Lord, bring to his will. And grace shall be the peace. Let me hear you. What is it next? Undisturbed composure of your children. You know, it's so important to have this. Let me give an example. You see, when I had petrol price has gone up, the very first thing I protect is my peace. Hear you say? The very first thing I reach out for is my peace. It's not because I can't change that. They've set it already. When it was 600, God was helping me. Are you hearing me? You know, it was 180 something. And then they came and jacked it up to around 200 and disturbed our peace. And we were still balancing. I was telling my wife that we handled it better this time than last year. Even when going to 1,000 now, we are not as scattered as when we were from 100 to 120 to 200. If you look back, I give kudos to Nigeria. They've learned to live. But let's just leave that alone. So undisturbed composure. Things will happen, but you're going to hold yourself. This is so important. You check your kitchen, food is finishing. You look at the future. Will you get a job? What about your children? What about your life? What about this? All right. Great shall be the peace of your children. Let's look at another. Can you have RSV or anything? Any other Bible you have? Let's look at Message Bible. Message Bible, give us, if possible. Grace shall be the peace. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. We give you peace. Another Bible, give another Bible you have. Give us HSB. Yeah, beautiful. This is what I was looking for. I know it's NRSV. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and grace shall be the thriving. It's a new word now. There's a new psychology now. If you study psychology, there's a new psychology now. It's on flourishing. It's a new teaching on flourishing. It's everywhere. They're talking about flourishing. How many of you do psychology? You don't. You know, it's a new psychology now called flourishing, that people should thrive, people should flourish, people should, doesn't only just mean having money, it means that you are flourishing, you are, all of you are getting together. You know, just like when this fan is working, you know, it's not noisy. I don't know if you have noisy fan at home, you know, when this fan, they get to, you know, just working smoothly. Hallelujah. So great shall be the prosperity, the flourishing of your children. So peace is flourishing. Remember, look at Nigerian coat of arms. You know what coat of arms? Unity and faith, peace and progress. So you will never have progress without peace. You know, the more you are disturbed, the less you are able to put yourself together to get things done. You know what I'm talking about during exam time. You know, if they say, one result is out, and you got 39%. You know how it affects you reading for the next subject. But some people, they know how to just cope and still read. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or you are doing something which maybe, you know, you are in the place and they just give you a news that could have just scattered you. You just hold yourself together and finish through. Have you ever seen people before? They give them some bad news. They can't eat anymore. So other ones will stop and finish their food. Wash their hand and say, okay, kilo kabai. You know what I'm talking about? Learning to, you know, in my younger days, with my wife, something happened, I'll just go berserk. I don't want to change everything. As I get older now, I just say, we can change it anytime. We can, you know, it's peace. You see, I got peace like a river. So it should be flowing. Isaiah 55. Let's look at how this peace will do it. Isaiah 55. I love this. Verse 12. I want you to mark this verse in your Bible. For you shall go out with what? Joy. And be led out or be led forth. Give us KJV. And be led forth with peace. Hallelujah. You shall go out with joy. Remember, God's kingdom is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I love practical things like this. He said, you shall go out with joy. That means you must never wake up and leave your house without joy in your heart. You must have a kind of a thrill in your soul that you are not alone, that God has not forsaken you, that no matter what happens, God is on your side. Praise God, somebody. You know, I struggle to have that every day. If I don't have that, I will not be in church. I'm going to have to just keep that. So you shall go out. Don't ever go without joy. And then you'll be led with peace. So the greatest guidance a believer needs is to be led by peace. If you are going to do well, if you are going to have less failure in your life, you must let peace guide you. You must let peace go ahead of you. Are you hearing me? So, peace should be our mentor. Peace should be our guide. Even when you have a mentor, if you don't have peace with that mentor, you should not let that mentor you. Praise God. He said, you shall be led forth with peace. So, leading, guidance is primarily with peace. And when you know how to preserve your peace, then God will lead you to who to marry, to where to live. You see, people just today, before we left my office, my wife was just talking and we were asking for a couple in church that travel abroad. We're just talking. And then we just, you know, they just like they just disappeared. You see, you must never think your peace is somewhere else. It's you that will take your peace there. Jesus said, when he sent out his disciples, he said, any house you go down there, say to that house, peace. He said, if there is a son of peace there, be welcome. If there's no son of peace, let your peace return to you. Don't ever go somewhere without peace. Peace will guide you. Peace will lead you. That's the primary thing the Christians will live by. You're not living by joke, something. If pastor tells me that you go somewhere, if I don't have peace about it as my personal life, if it's pastor's job now, I can go down without peace. That's his problem. Nobody. But if pastor says I should go somewhere that has to do with my life and I don't have peace, just like David and Goliath, remember? Saul said, he should come and wear the armor, remember? And then he tried it. He said, I'm not at peace with this thing. King Emma Bino, I have to humbly disagree that I cannot use this. So you should be led forth with peace. Someone said, that's the Old Testament. Let's go to chapter 3, Colossians, verse 15. You make it very clear for us. Chapter 3, Colossians, verse 15. Thank you. And see that. Everybody see that. Let the peace of God become king, rule. Reign in your heart. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give. So that peace must be treasured. Let it rule to which also you are called. So that your calling is into peace. Not into pieces. Are you hearing me? You're not called to become a billionaire. To travel all over the world. And be famous. That's not our call. We're called to peace, thriving, flourishing. That may cover the whole earth. That may go to places. That may have money. But we're called to peace, that harmony. Let's read this verse in Amplified Classic. It's fantastic. Look at it. Let the peace of God, and let the peace, soul harmony, which come from Christ, rule. Now, what's in the bracket? Act as a referee, as an umpire in your heart. Now, read, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always, because thanksgiving and peace go together. If you go to somebody and say, hey, your money, the 50,000, I'm not worried, what, I'm not worried about you. When you hear that, what do you do next? Thank you. You must always have that peace that no matter where you find yourself, no matter what happens in your life, you can always go to Christ. Christ will say, come and eat. Thou preparest a table before me, present of my enemies. You can prepare peace. You know, sometimes you may even have the miracles without peace. You know, people just you want to tell me, you know, sometimes you go and borrow money without peace. You just I'm not gonna borrow you. You just calm down. So a peace I live with you. That's how Jesus thrived. He had so much opposition against him. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus had a meeting, and the Bible says, Pharisees from every, let's go and see. Look, come and see. Luke chapter 5. I'm coming back to this. I have to let peace guide us. Luke 5, verse 17. Now, it happened, can you imagine, on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had gone of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And what happened? And the power of the Lord. Can you just, look, if this place is full of enemies, I'll go somewhere else. Jesus was teaching, and everybody, can you just imagine, all of you are here today because you agree with me. Just imagine that everybody here is disagreeing with me. I'll just say, so then the camera, let's go home. But we have been some places like that. I have to sometimes go to places where I'm going to preach like that. You have to first of all break the ground first before you start teaching, you know. But Jesus had enemies all over the house. And he was teaching, and the power of God was present. Let me show you the next verse. And then behold, men brought out on a bed man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. Let's go on reading. And when they could not find him, how they might bring him because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through. Jesus already having enemies inside. Can I tell the truth? That house was the house of Jesus. It was his headquarter house at Capernaum. Now, you already have enemy filling your house. And somebody now go up there and start breaking your roof. What will you do next? Huh? You just think, it's a undisturbed composure. Jesus start, some people, you start talking about enemy. One of the things I'm learning as a pastor, as I grow older, is that don't mind the negatives. So that something happened in the service, or do their face like this at you, just keep preaching. You know, someone just, you go to work, just calm down, just keep on and share a corner with them. you just leave, you know. My wife, when she was small, mama, when she messed up, mama would just be at peace with her. That's dangerous. You see, a cabo, a white jewel. Just beat me so we can get out of this, you know. Hallelujah. She says, we just start your school. It's not easy, to be honest. We did. He said, my peace. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? My peace I live with you. That same peace. Can you just imagine that? Now, we are not used to it. You have to fit into it. But it's his own peace. That's where he lived all his life. Hallelujah. How can you stand up in the bush and say, give them to eat? What kind of peace do you have like that? That you're going to have food? Huh? I wonder how he slept in the midst of a storm. There'll be water making noise. It just, how many of you sleep deep? You don't even know. People can tell me about sleeping deep. Sometimes my wife is sleeping, I envy her sleep. She sleeps well. Me, something happened, I just open my eyes. One of my kids, you almost have to slap her to wake her up. Some of us, you just move the door, at the G. So when my wife is sleeping, sometimes she just sleeps off. She just sleeps. And bad no. Jesus will just sleep, just sleep. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, living in peace. A peace I give to you. You know, that guy dropped, Jesus healed him and said, get out of here. They will disturb your peace, but they won't disturb mine. We just get out. Hallelujah. So, we've seen a peace I give to you. A peace I live with you. What does the word? Yeah, I know you'll be disturbed sometimes. Something will happen. Jesus was disturbed himself. But he composed himself, put himself back. You don't know about that. He was disturbed. Let's go and see that. Let's go to Mark 13. Hallelujah. But he knew how to get himself back. This peace. Mark 13. We're looking at peace. My peace I live with you. Things are going to happen. Hallelujah. Are we still here? Okay, it's Mark 14. Hallelujah. Look at verse 32. Then he came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I what? While I pray. Please listen. We're going to get into beautiful things right now. You're going to say, sit here while I pray. Next verse. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled. He just told us, don't be troubled. Let not be troubled. Let not be afraid. But Jesus, when you look underneath and remove the veil, you can see he was troubled and deeply distressed. Are you here? So, what you see on the surface, just more than the surface, you disturbed too. Troubled. Deeply distressed. Let's verse. And he said to them, you don't know the gravity of this. He had never tasted sin before. He had lived sinless, God the Son, and is going to the cross to take the sin of the whole world upon himself. You should have grown up in a house where you are never lack money. You never lack money. And one day you are left without money. It can be devastating. My soul is still sorrowful, even to death. It was a breaking point for Jesus. Stay here and do what? So he knew how to get his peace back. Look at next verse. And so he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that possible the hour might pass from him. And he treated that praying, prayed, got back his peace, and he stood before Judas and he said, friend, he didn't say enemy. And Judas sold him and he took him off and he got to the house of Caiaphas and he composed himself. That just got thing done. I was talking, where was I now? I was somewhere talking about ladies. Yeah, it was in the 3G husbands meeting. I was talking to them about some of these elegant women. They always keeping them composed, particularly women. I was telling them about, if you ever watch Al Jazeera, anyway, watch Al Jazeera, there's some kind of advert in between some of these things they just show. And they showed one, if you remember, if I tell you, you know, there was this elderly woman that was like a beggar sitting down. And she was hardly clothed. The moment they turned the camera toward her, I was watching her, it comes on, look out for Al Jazeera. She was sitting down like that. The moment they turned camera, you know what she did? She put her clothes back and adjust herself and looked straight as if she's about to take a picture. That's a beggar. So, I'm talking about peace today. The peace that can lead you, that can guide you. Let's go back to Colossians 3 verse 15 again in Amplified Classic. This is what we need in our world today so powerfully. Give us again 3:15 Colossians. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. in that peaceful state. So as a believer, there's something you have to treasure is peace. Like he said over here, let that peace act as an umpire. That means every day you wake up, let peace be the mentor. Let the peace be the guide. Let peace be the leader. That you only go where peace goes, you only stop where peace stops, and you don't go further. In fact, your greatest guidance is about peace. Some of these old men will say, I lost my peace. I can't stay there anymore until I get my peace back. So you must learn to have peace. Sometimes you say to somebody, you just lose your peace. You have to recompose yourself back to get it back. Because it's inside of you. It's your heart. Because it's your heart is the most important. Guard your heart with all the, for out of it are the issues of life. And what matters in that place is that harmony, that quietness, that balance. It's the engine room. So peace is the one that exacts influence there. And let the peace of God rule, act as an umpire in your heart. You see, what they call today mental health disorders is actually peace absent. Unresolved issues. Questions unanswered. So the best way to handle it is not by struggling with it, it's letting the peace of God, we're going to see that in a minute now, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Deciding you should follow the way of peace. Let's go a step further. How do you do this? Number one, how do you maintain your peace? Let's go. Philippians 4, verse 6. We should start from verse. You will see this together. Verse 4. Let's just see together. Rejoice in the Lord. See, it had joy. See, rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice. Be happy in the Lord. Not in your situations. We won't be happy in Nigeria. Difficult country. Be happy in the Lord. Celebrate. Oh, how did you give us Message Bible for this verse? Give us Message Bible. This verse. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, be drunken on Him. Hallelujah. Next verse. Give me in a. I want to give me in a. Yeah. Let your. Can you give me KJV, the old King James Version? I want you to see this. Let your what? Excuse me. Let what? Your moderation be what? Known to all men. The Lord is where? At hand. Is near. Now, please listen to this. We're talking about how to maintain that peace, how to let that peace rule in your heart, how to keep peace going and not be all disturbed and, you know, like I said again, you must fight for peace in your life. I mean, in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, not outside first. Somebody can have peace outside and it's really disturbed inside. So how do you do the peace? He said, number one, let your moderation. See, listen to this. If you are going to experience peace, don't go to extremes in your life. What do I say? Don't go to extreme. I'll give an example. If you just buy a car now, don't let it be car, 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 car. You know, something will happen that make that car make cause trouble. Or if somebody fights you, they fight me. Just be moderate. Don't let anything hold you too much. Some of you, that's why you don't get forgiving. You think too much about what you did to somebody or they did to you. Let be moderate. Are you hearing me? That includes don't eat too much. You may disturb your peace. And don't go hungry too much too. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't go to extreme on things. Don't go to extreme. Don't. You must learn to hold life like that. You should not. Kukimilaroi, Kukimilaroi, Kukimilaroi. So what? So Kukimilaroi. Kukimilaroi, Makilarola. You know, you live like that. That's why sometimes you notice peace in church. Doesn't mean that I'm not offended, but I don't take it to heart. Anybody can do anything, anybody, and nobody's really trying to hurt you. Praise God. Am I making some sense? Moderation. Be moderate. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Thank you. So be more, then the Lord is at hand. It's not far. He's giving you his peace. Now, let's look at how to now keep your peace. Next verse. Do not, let's go verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Look at semicolon. Next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. See that word again now. It becomes your guide. It becomes your guard. It will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Things are coming from outside. The devil, circumstances, people want to mess you up. But if you learn to get the peace of God to rule, you know, to say, which surpasses all understanding, it's beyond comprehension. This peace is not that you can explain it. That's your problem. You want to explain everything. You can't explain everything about life. Life is a mystery sometimes. Are you hearing me? You have to let it go. You have to hold it. I mean, if Joseph had been thinking about the brothers who sold him forever, he won't amount to anything. Life is a mystery. They sold him to get to Egypt, right? You can't explain everything. But you can experience peace in everything. Praise God, somebody. So he said, verse 6, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, usually what causes trouble for us is that we have a way of going, and then somebody takes us to either this way or that way, and they set our composure into confusion. So we start scrambling, we start struggling, we start wondering, how will it turn out? What will happen? Now fuel is 1,000, how will I survive in this country? At least, if you just cut down a little bit of your, you just, like I told you again, when anything happens, when they say tax or something, when they say petrol or anything, the very first thing I grab is my peace. That whatever happens, I have to keep my peace. Because whatever happens, I have to still live. And if I don't live anymore, there's no need of all this country going on. What's the use of the country when you are dead? So grab your peace first. Things happen at home, grab your peace first. I shall not be moved. Praise God. I shall not be moved. By now, you should know that bad news are part of the show. Are you hearing me now? You must just know that, we ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Is that not true? That's what we ate, the whole of humanity. Pastor, I didn't eat it. Your dad ate it. Your grandpa ate it. So what do you do? But now, you must learn that bad news will come, but you will not be moved because the peace of God will keep your heart. Are you hearing me? Now, in the midst of all that, listen to this now. Look at the issue of petrol now. So he said, don't worry about anything. So what should I do? But in everything. See that? He's telling you how to bring peace into everything. Now, something want to bring you out of peace is anxiety. As a Christian, you must see anxiety as your number one enemy. Anxiety is worse than the devil. Because without anxiety, devil can't capture you. It just set you like that. That's why, you know what's selling most in the world in America today? The best drug, antidepressant. If you can crack the code of removing anxiety, medical line, you got it. You can make billions in. Because the whole world is under tension. And they're swallowing something, drinking something, eating something, touching somebody, do something to get peace. And anxiety is everywhere. But people say, don't worry. Pastor, that's not easy. But God said, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Start holding anxiety afar from you. Just stop pushing it. I know it's not easy. Some of us live in our brain more than in our hands. Some people live in their hands. They just do something. But of us, we live in our brain. People like us, we live in the brain. Are you hearing me? And brain has a problem with anxiety. It's a state. So what do? You say, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Sometimes when things get really bad, I'll pull out my Bible. If you check my Bible, One place that has really been used is Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. I tell myself, don't worry about it. I read that verse again. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Pastor, where to get the job? You don't even know where to get the job. So don't worry about anything. One of my teachers, he started practicing this. It was not easy for him. So one day he was going out with his wife. The wife said, "Dear, you started not worrying about anything." He said, "Yes." He said, "If I and the children, two children, if you just fall down and die now, I know you will not worry." Trouble occurred. The man said, "After you are dead, what am I going to worry about again now?" So he went berserk. Are you hearing me? Worry. Don't worry. That's the way to live in our world today. Don't worry. First of all, go easy, but do it. But he said, how do you attack it? But in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication. That's why Jesus prayed. That's how he kept his peace. That's how he maintained himself outside the range of anxiety. You see, people think prayer is just prayer. No, Jesus was praying to take care of things so that we don't have to worry about them. Are you hearing me? Let's look at Message Bible for this verse. Say it in a way that you don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, do what? Pray. Now listen, let petitions and prayers shape your worries into prayer. Letting God know your concerns. Let's take, just like somebody will take, you take washing, to wash plates, sponge and soap. You know the plate is dirty. So what do? Instead of just looking at the dirty plate and be wondering, you take soap, you take water, you take sponge, you start washing it. The same way, if you're going to take care of worry, you're going to take prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Water, soap, and sponge. You take care of the death. You can't think it through. You can't think it through without prayer. You see, your mind needs to even think and get breakthrough thoughts. But you can't get the answers in worry. I'm not saying you should not think. But worry is a negative form of thinking that expects the worst to happen and see yourself trapped and not find any way to go out. That's what worry is all about. We worry because we think we are trapped. We can't get anywhere. Jesus is saying, "My peace I'm giving you." Jesus never had a problem he could not solve. Am I correct? Nothing. Well, he had clear thinking and straight thinking to get things done. Jesus never got to a place and got trapped. Why? Because he had gotten worry aside and had prayed up. So he said, let petitions and prayers shape your worry into prayer, letting God know your concerns. Now let's go back to NKJV and show you something over here. Or NLT, give us NLT. Okay, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Simple. Now, the problem is this. Listen, this is where its problem is. Go back to give us NKJV. I want to see something that is important here. And this is where we are not thinking well for our own lives. You see, we worry because we don't know how things will turn out. But what are we really after? Request, am I right? Okay, you heard that there's a lot of accidents in Lagos now. Just spiked up. And you're going to Lagos tomorrow. Now, the reason why you worry is because you think that accident will also occur to your car you are taking to Lagos, right? So what should you do now? What are you really after? You see, your mind is all clogged up. So what do you do? God said, tell me your request. What do you want in all these issues? I want to go to Lagos safe and sound and come back. Is that all right? Do you get that now? Now, if you don't stop and do this, you will spend time worrying and two things will happen. You either go, you will not have accident. Your mind will be all jammed up from here to Lagos and back. It's as worse as having an accident too. You know what I mean? Or second, you'll be destabilized and you won't go. So either way, you will lose. Sometimes, on the physical side, I'm not saying I recommend this. Sometimes you need to let the worst thing happen so we know we are going somewhere. Yeah, you see now? Huh? Okay. That's all happening. You know? Some people recommend that if you're afraid of flying, buy a ticket and fly. You just fly. Okay, okay. In that, you get yourself together. So God is saying, tell me your request. Now, there are two ways to tell God your request. By what? Prayer and supplication. Let me drop something that will help you today. You know, I've been wrestling with these verses for years. I noticed something. Everybody listen to this. I noticed something. I noticed that sometimes when I'm in a worry form and I'm praying, I don't seem to touch God. Do you know why? I'm not using the two arms of prayer. I'm using only one hand. You see this prayer and supplication, they are two different things. Then there's thanksgiving. I'll prove it to you. Look at 1 Timothy 2. We're going to have to run. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. You see the same thing there now. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You can see four there, right? But the verse we read, only three are there because it's concerning your life. Let's go back to Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, you saw that one there now. Then supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made. You know, I was telling my wife something today. You know what I told my client? I said, pastors have not really helped us. You see, pastors will be teaching us, men of God, they should be telling us all these things to live our life well. Not just discussing about ministry. Are you hearing me? Help us become pastors, ministers, kinikons, deacons. They don't have to live their Christian life. There's one lady who was a deaconess. Over 20 years, right? For 20 years, deaconess. She asked to my wife, church me live because enjoy, church me enjoy. You hearing me? You know what? She had no Bible. Am I correct there? My wife gave her the Bible. What a shame. Can you imagine a doctor with a stethoscope? I can't have without a ledger. Restaurant without plates. Can you imagine? Never. She's gone to all these churches, 20 years deaconess. She never, because the Bible was never thing to work with. She never knew anything. I really don't care about church, dressing up, all those things, you know, come to church, Bible, you sit down, because, look here, only 2-3 hours. Aloliwa, Abeko. Aloliwa, Abora, sorry, Abole. Get a new book. Then you not face life. And when you are facing life now, you can just say, I'm an usher. I have a PhD in theology. Kula kuku. It'll make you laugh. There was one pastor in Lagos years ago. You know, he didn't believe in speaking in tongues. He would attack it. So, just a young man, he was just about to get married, and the wife left him. Went to church. Cry before God, and started speaking in tongues. You know, when Rabbi made the road, you know what you need. He just started praying in tongues. Why? Pain, look at him. But the sorrow. Practical things of life. You know, you can't tell me somebody take poverty vow. You know, you never worry about anything. You know. So, number one, prayer. Number two, supplication. What is prayer? You see, prayer is this. Prayer is something you do continuously. Are you listening? Let's put it like this. Prayer is chronic. Supplication is acute. If prayer is done continuously, and second, to supplicate means something immediate. Now, usually, are we here, everybody? Listen, see, this is my problem. When I'm facing some issue disturbing me, I don't have any credit on my phone. I don't have any account down of prayer. Pastor, what are you talking about? Listen to me. Listen, you have a child, let's say, 15-year-old. They give you a news. Oh, something's happening to him. He's not reading his book very well in school. Hey, Johnny, what am I? Oh, God, please. See, no, you are wrong. You are wrong. You should start praying first. You should be praying normally for your kids and pray God's plan for your kids every other day or every day. Prayer should be going on. Then when something emergency occurs, you can now supplicate. See what I just said? If you don't have an account, you can't withdraw from there. So you just can't, you know, come to particular, oh God help me, oh God help me. People don't get help. Let me prove this to you. Sometimes, how many of you have been there before? Some prayer, you pray like this, you don't see any answer. No, you just pray, answer happen. I mean, anybody know what I'm talking about? You just pray. So, see, if you've been going on in praying, like now, you've been praying about safety and God watching over your life and your family, pray that prayer regularly. If you now enter the prayer and they say, there's a storm, you have credits already. You can say, Father, I'm start supplicating. Start acute praying. That's why a lot of our prayers don't get answered. Huh? I'll give you an example. Look at Nigeria now. We don't pray. Everything's no problem. You see, 2000. Hey, Jesus, Baba, then we pray like that. After a while, but do we maintain steady praying? Steady praying. It's part of our life. You must get yourself composed of praying. Praying over specific things in your life. If you're final year now, you're praying about your life outside school. Don't get to 2 days before graduation. Jesus, or where anymore? Wow. Who's Lord? You should not be doing that. You should be praying. You should be making. See, this is where many of us have problems in Christianity. We just drag in, drag out, think that it's just going to happen. No. He rewards them that seek him diligently. You know, you keep on, look at over your business now. You're praying. You put it to your schedule. You worship. You pray. You trust God. You call for customers. You do all those things. You do it in and out. When something happens, you can call upon God with supplication now. But you can't fly with one wing. It's prayer and supplication. Are you hearing me? It's prayer and supplication. So you start taking things. You pray ahead of things before time. You talk to God about issues. Prayer is different from like now. Pray for your children like this. Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and with men. Right? Pray that into your schedule. You have 3 children. Then turn it to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You pray for the first one, Monday, second one, then third day. You know, for instance, now, you know what I pray? I don't, some of you pray for Nigeria. I pray for the 6 zones of Nigeria: south, southeast, southwest, northeast, north central. I put southwest on Monday, south, because it's next door to us, on Tuesday, southeast on Wednesday, then north central. I see 6 of them, so 6 days of the week. I don't always remember, but I divided like that. I raised five children. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Today's Tuesday. I take time for my wife. Praying about that. Let the word of God come in there. I get things planned up. Nobody goes to school and the exam is coming. You go and open your book. You don't plan reading before.
Pastor, I don't have time.
Then have time for worry. You know, I mean, plan it. Pastor, the way you are talking, it's as if I won't do anything else. No. Stop thinking like prayers like this. Prayer. This is why I pray for Southwest. Father, I'm in Southwest. I want peace around this area. God says Southwest, God knows. Take care of them. Give us peace among them. Amen. That's all. And Father, Lord, let the word of God increase in our land. Let pastors preach the word of God so much. I'm through. 2-3 minutes, I'm through. I don't have to do like this. Papa Jesus. I want to come out to pray. That's their job. Like Stabiola. They pray over the nations, pray over the city. They pray God to give them things to do. But for us, we are different. I'm not a cook, but I can cook. So prayer over. Don't like your mom now, your dad now, pray for them regularly. I pray for, I cover things every day. Before, I used to be afraid of praying. But I felt like I just pray. Like now, I pray for you almost every day. What do I pray for? I don't pray, your cat will be alive, your children. No, I just pray what is most important, like Ephesians 1 prayer, Ephesians 3 prayer, that will tie up all your life together. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge of God, going with God. You see, for my children now, this is what I pray. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray Jabez prayer for them, which covers a lot of things. Like now, Lord, Jabez pray. Lord, what did he pray? God, that you bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory. And your hand will walk with me. That I will not, that you keep me from every evil. And I will not have pain. So I pray, Lord, I bless them. I say, Father, Lord, please help them. Let them experience your blessing. Enlarge their territory. I don't even know what that territory is. Psychologically, physical. I just pray. Because the man pray, God an answer.
And then, Lord, please, I pray that your hand will walk with them and keep them from every evil. That means from sickness to trouble to anything at work. Are you hearing me? Then when it comes to my kids, I pray this one for them too. Follow them. I pray Jesus increase in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and with men. If they cover those areas, we won't have any problem. My children that are grown up, I pray for them that they will have favor with God and with men. If they have favor with God, life will be okay. They will trouble them. If they have favor with people, they will do well at their workplaces. Am I right? With their neighbor, with their husbands. I pray for them too. Wisdom, and they know God. Stature, they are doing well physically. Karufi, are you hearing me? So you covered all that. And just pray that regularly. Now, see, it looks dry. Just like when you put money in cooperative, it looks dry. 5,000, 2,000, 5,000, 2,000, 5,000. By the end of 3 years, it's 500,000. Would they? I don't know. So begin to make prayer deposits in your life. Different things. Like now, you have kids, start praying for them. Pray that way for them. And 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you can do that. You don't have to have 5 hours to pray. Just talk to God. Amen. That's important. Putting prayer, don't become emergency prayer contractor. Jesus, Okojo, what's all that? You can just kind of, you know, put them together like that. No. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. So start praying. You're about to marry. Start praying for your husband. Start praying for your wife. Start praying for your children. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense this morning or this evening? So, supplications and prayer. Now, so what's supplication? Supplication is something immediate. Like, now, one of them is sick now. Oh, one of them is sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. This sickness will come against it in the name. I pray. I just take my wife's hand. We just agree. We just pray. And then start expecting God to move. That's the way to do it. You want to go to Lagos now? You've been praying for safety for years. Now, you just go today now. Lagos, you have to go. Something's happening. Lagos, Father, in the name of Jesus, please preserve me. Even if nothing's happening, you're praying it. Hope I'm making some sense. See, that prayer deposit will take care of a lot of things I had paid for already. So pray normally. Don't pray only crisis prayer. Is that right? Then when crisis comes, you pray that issue and leave it to God. And don't worry about anything. Worry makes prayer nonsensical. This is how to now bury worry. Start giving thanks. Have you ever seen anybody worrying, giving thanks? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. If you are worrying, let's give thanks. Hello, Maju. You can't rejoice now because Kujora won. Yeah, antithetical. But you just say, Father, now you are giving thanks not because things are going to change by themselves, because your Father is on your side. And it makes everything work together. In fact, stop right now. Let's give thanks for our lives. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for my life. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in my life right now. No matter what's happening around the world, in this situation, in this city, thank you that your peace is over my life. Thank you because you are protecting me. Thank you because you are watching over me. I bless your name. Thank you for my family. Can you mention your children? Thank you for my family. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my people, my workplace. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for your protection hand. Thank you for the prosperity I'm enjoying. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful things. Hallelujah. And is there any area bugging you? You say, Father, I trust you there, and I give thanks that you are going to move there. You're going to do something about it. I know you are doing something. I may not see it yet, but I know you are working. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are putting my life together in your wisdom and in your own way. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, do something quite regularly. Get to a place where the devil can't get you. Let me tell you what I mean by that. See, when you are small, people can be chasing you outside. The moment you pass the gate of your father's house and enter the compound, you do like this. Come. Particularly if your uncle is outside, oh, buddy. You know? You see, you have to learn to run. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. You must be continually offering praise to God. Just stop. Father, thank you. One time I set an alarm. Just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. See, that thanking him, blessing him, makes all the difference in our world. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hallelujah. Now, God will give you these two keys about peace. You know, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You stop and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you today. You wake up in the morning, thank you, Father, I give you glory. And if you can't sing, say it. If you can't say it, sing it. Whichever way you want to do it. Is that all right? Do we get that? Give thanks. Just bless him. Give him glory. You didn't sell yesterday in business. Thank him today because your life has not stopped yesterday. Praise God. Praise the Lord. For instance, you know, in my younger days, rain fell like this. There'll be no service. People won't come to service. I just give thanks. And thank God we have online now. Is that not true? Yeah, we say, isn't that wonderful? What a God we have. Hallelujah. So he said, you want to have peace? Go back to Philippians 4 verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Now do something. As you are making your request and praying like that, do something in your heart. Open up your heart to the next level. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard you. Some people, they just pray. They never open to peace. They just pray, pray. Prayer will be followed by peace. Consciously, you should take an answer. Consciously, you should welcome the peace of God. Pastor, how can I welcome the peace of God? I don't know what's going on. It passes all understanding. You don't have to understand before you collect the peace. Just collect it anyway. Praise God. I don't know how AC works, but I get into AC room. Just welcome the peace of God. Start calming yourself down inside. Remember that thing? Mommy, calm down. You are the only one who can do this. Nobody can do it for you. I can encourage you, but you have to just tell, now, I leave this in the hands of God. God will take care of us. I'm at peace here now. I'm at peace now. And that peace starts guarding your heart and your minds. My few years on earth, I've seen strange things happen. I've seen trouble that you think it cannot be handled, and God will just come in with his peace. Even when it is not solved, you are at peace. Am I making some sense over here? Not everything will be solved in your life instantly, but you can enjoy peace all through it. Are you hearing me? See, I'd rather go on a rough road with peace than on express with fear. You know what I just said? Just calm down. That's why I like a city like this. It's just calm, it's just cool. Praise the Lord. We guard your heart. So peace will guard our heart and our mind. Now listen to me. If you don't let peace guard your heart and your mind will not be free to think creatively and purposefully. Worry is like inhibitors to our mind. God wants our mind to blossom, to come up with things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But it won't work if you're just anxious, all jammed up inside of you. You don't learn to just leave it in the hands of God, pray, and start giving thanks. And then start taking peace on purpose. One time when I was to have an exam, and I noticed I was not having peace in the campus. I went to go and stay outside. Because, hey, can you tell me? Hey, you're going to go, Sometimes I will come toward the about to start exam. Because if I come earlier, look at, so you just stay out of that mess. You're just going to put your head to, just relax. Most important is well-composed mind is more creative than another mind. So be at peace. Tell yourself, I'm at peace. Bible says, be still and know. So start calming yourself down. I know what your mind is thinking. You are lazy. You think this is like this? Tell yourself. So you start battling with that next. Let it guard your heart. Let's read it in Amplified Classic. Give us Amplified Classic. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of his soul, a soul of his salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with his earthly lot, whatever that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison, sound like barracks, and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the best things I do is that I just take that verse in my hand. I just be thinking on it. Guard your heart, your mind. I receive my hand guard, my heart guarded. I receive my mind guarded. Let me be honest with you. Worry was my biggest problem. But I learned to start looking at from the point. God will take care of us. My. Maybe some of you, I thank God for your mind. My mind, I thank God for it. Some of our minds, man, my mind can calculate, can put this together. It works for me for good area. Some other ones like this. I don't know if you're just walking on the road, you see the car hitting you, I take you to the hospital, in your mind. Hello? Huh? You are not on the way to the car. It just pop up in your head. Huh? What do you do? Run to the car and have it fulfilled? No. You could guard your heart and mind and then do something now. I'm talking about, if you're coming in, I'm talking about peace. Give us John 14:27 again. John 14:27. My peace. I'm waiting for you. Can you give us an Amplified Bible? Classic, thank you. Can you? If you can. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, never let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. And don't permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You don't permit yourself. Don't permit yourself. Just hold yourself back. Pastor, what about that? What about if I fail? Then you fail unagitated. It's better you fail peacefully than the pass all scattered. Just relax. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Just peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. What will happen tomorrow? I don't know. But I will live today well. Because today will give back to tomorrow. And I can't live today well when I'm all concerned and all agitated. My mind is not working well. You see, until I saw that anxiety is like an inhibitor to my mind, I didn't let it go quickly. You see, nobody wants his hand to heal and then take hammer and hit it again. When you allow anxiety, it's like you're taking a hammer to hit your head. My peace I leave with you. Don't worry about anything. Don't be afraid. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm feeling as I'm talking like this. I know how your mind is sending signals to me. I can feel it. But let's apply Jesus' word. Let's go back to Philippians 4 to get peace. The peace of God. We read verse 7. And the peace of God. I want to give you how to do this quite well. Give us back in NKJV. You see, people take only one of the steps. They don't take all the three steps. I want to show you all the three steps that to take to actually enjoy peace. Let me show you something before we continue. See that word, and the peace of God? Now, look at verse 9. You see the word reverse. Look, can you look up? And the things which you learn and receive and add and saw in me, this do, and the, not the peace of God, and the God of peace. You see that? The peace of God and the God of peace. People don't get to the end of God of peace. They get only started with the peace. And, you know, the person that will replenish the peace is God, the God of peace. We're coming to that in a minute. But let's go to verse 7. And the peace of God, when you pray and supplicate and talk to God and thanksgiving, the peace of God that surpasses, first of all, let me help you. All of us are educated here. So they've taught us to live from our mind. That's why our world is in trouble today. But the mighty forces that run our world, they are not mental. They are not intellectual. You don't remember demand and supply? We don't always obey the law. They found out that more what controls us is our like, our desire, our hatred, our bitterness, our love, tenderness, kindness. That's what runs our world. You can have brilliant ideas. Karl Marx. Capitalism. They have all this ism. So we that are a lack of ways, we live more in our head. But I've never seen anybody walking with their head. Turn upside down. You can't walk very far. You put your 2 feet on the ground. And God is saying, this is how you put your 2 feet on the ground. Don't think that you can solve everything in your head. So you must live in this part of this verse. Surpasses all understanding. Surpasses all understanding. Have you ever noticed IMF and World Bank always predicting GDP for China, for Nigeria? They have it again, they multiply it. One time, Nigeria was crazy. They said, our GDP is growing. I said, what is growing? It's just paper, statistics. You know, sometimes this thing bugs me. America, they bring all these polls, all these people come around, they say, 30% of people. And you know, you probably don't know me that. That person of people, just about 1,000 people. But they call them Abeokutana, they got 1,000 people. Talk to them, and the trainer says that I don't like the city. Out of how many in Abeokuta? The polls reveal, which polls? It's amazing. See, America now, they're saying, Kamala Harris, this is your poll, that poll. That. After a few years, I don't follow them anymore. In my younger days, earlier, those 80s and 90s, I followed the polls. I can win. Why can't they be voting? Why can't they rule me? Can you sell it? Because they only talk to 2,000 people out of 20 million. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every five, can you come, marriage ends, can you come, you see, that's where we live. We like facts and figures. But figures are moving all the time. You know, I love mathematics. I hate statistics. You know why? Because statistics, you can't hold the figure down. It's always in kind of flow. Hallelujah. So we must learn to live in that place that surpasses all understanding. Expecting God to surpass your understanding. Sometimes, I don't know if you've been there before, you put something in like that. You see, the world is controlling us bad. They will tell us, GTB, shares, they are selling. What's it done already? They just want to carry our money go. But we don't know. We think it's right. Even those press anymore, I don't trust them anymore. Those press, they are paid for sometimes. They are paid for. Are you hearing me? But we are intellectuals. We believe facts on paper. And we need to believe facts on paper. But we have to be careful with the facts. Particularly about our lives. And can you imagine that last year, nobody ever thought we can live with now the metal fuel? Nobody. Thank you. Now, I mean, we're going to live with now the metal fuel? Huh? Now it's $1. You know, another place catch it, you go and buy it and manage it. And we just go on. So start living beyond surpassing all understanding. You can even ask doctors over here. Not every case turns out the same way, sir. That's right. So start living, not mad, don't get me wrong, but live at the edge where you can allow other factors to come in. There was a book read years ago called Margin. Remember the book Margins. You know, it's about stress. You see, that book said that, I remember from primary school, 2 years, that book. Remember those books I used in primary school? They would put edge beside it where you can do some kind of, you know what I'm talking about? You sell those books that in our schools. You know, you have margin. When I was doing my WAEC, they gave us paper to do our mathematics and science. And they said, they leave the edge for us to do our, I never touched it. You know, I'm going to do it somewhere else. The person will see what I'm doing, that maybe it's wrong. But that's margin. Now, let me give you the meaning of margin. You see, if I'm around here, my margin is very small. My margin is very small. If you push me now, I'm coming down there. But if I stay here, my margin from here to there is further. Make some sense? So if you push me, I can't fall there. I'll fall here. Make some sense? You must learn to live. Don't live too much in the intellectual here. Live there, but be ready to move. Are you hearing me? When things happen, be ready to move. You are moving already by all our factors around us. They are moving already. You know, school fees has gone up. My brother was telling me, the pastor said, you know, they bribe you to come with scholarship last year. Huh? you say 50% rebate, and then you entered. No, this is everywhere. And then the criminal, I said, come here now. He said, ah, it's okay. Money is expected. Let's see what we can do to get more. But to think that school will not increase their money at this time is to believe in illusion. Like I'm already preaching for you. You know? So you can see that. So your heart and your mind, let it be gathered together that God's going to take care of us. Amen? Now, the moment you start having that peace, something will happen. Progress will start. Look at next verse. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now listen. This is where you can do creative breakthrough thinking. When you pray and don't worry, when you talk to God in thanksgiving, ideas begin to spring up inside of you. You will see what to do. Are you hearing me, somebody here? You see how to manage things, how to move ahead in life. You see where to go to. You see what to get. So first of all, stop worrying. Let peace override your heart. In that peace, in that praying. You know, just before I came to church, I was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin. When Christ appeared to him in February 1959 in a town called El Paso, Texas. I hope you are listening. I read the book. It was talking about, are we here? Talking about inner witnessing. Listen to this. I want to help you. Jesus said to him, he said, I want to help you. He said, I want to show you how to let me lead you. I was marking the place when I was reading it. He said, you are seeing me in vision now, and I'm talking to you. But he said, I will never, never lead you like this again. He said, I will lead you like I lead any of my children by their inner witnesses within them. What's this inner witness? Jesus said, I'll give you an example. The Lord asked him a question. He said, for about 3 or 4 days now, you want to go to one church to go and preach there. You will write the man a letter, but halfway, you will tear it. You drop it down. You will go back, write a little bit again. You just crumble it and throw it into the dustbin. He said, that's my spirit telling you and nudging you not to go there. Second one. He said, the other one you are having, he said, you know, you were in a meeting about how many months ago. When you finished there, crowds came to invite you. And one man came there and said to you, ah, do you go to a small church? You're about 70 or 80. If God leaves you, you can come. He said, in the last 1 month, that discussion had been coming back to you. I've been coming back to you almost every day. And you're telling me, should I go or not go? The Lord said to him, he said, I want you to go to that smaller place. And then that other place, if you go there, they will not receive your ministry. You will fail there. But he said, the Lord said, I will never appear like this again and tell you what to do. And he said this. He said, anytime you are praying about something and you are thinking about it and you are feeling peace, you are feeling rest, you are feeling better about it inside of you, that's the way you should go. He said, anything you want to do, you want to, as you pray about it and think about it, you are feeling not so all right. You're not, and you're praying about it. You're praying about it. The more you pray, you see, if you are wrong, when you get into prayer, coupled with thinking, that wrongness will be magnified. If something is right, the more you go to God and think about it along with God, the better it gets. It gets better. So in God's presence, goodness amplifies, wrongness shrinks. Figure out what I just said. If you are dealing with God, for instance, when there's light, you see things clearer. No more light, you see easy, but you know, even small light, you see. So what I'm saying in essence is this. Christ was telling him, let the peace guard you. Let the peace guard you. You see, you're going to do something. You pray about it. Now, don't just let the feeling outside without prayer do it too. Pastor, I don't feel like waking up to go to work this morning. I have peace about that one. You're going to lose your job. I'm talking about issues that come up. You pray about it. The more you pray about it. See, many of us just pray and walk off. We never spend time to talk and think along. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, start thinking about it. That issue, bring it up when you finish praying. The best time to do better is when you are praying. Prayer is just more than praying alone. Prayer gives you the room to enter to do business with God. Do you get what I just said? You see, it's like if you notice something about your life, if you are in your home and you dress up and put perfume on you, you smell the strongest where you put the perfume. Am I right? Depending upon the quality of the perfume. But you get out there, it's still smelling. Some of us, by the door, with the law, is 1-5 from Takmon, you know. So if you have stronger perfume, it can last for 6 hours, a whole day. Sometimes when you pick up your clothes, it's still smelling it. But it happens at that point where you and the perfume interact. That's how you carry God's atmosphere. The more you pray, see, the more you pray, the more you are changed. Now, in that changed moment, start thinking about the issues. That's where the peace is. And anytime you are not getting answers clear, hold on and pray more to something clear. Sometimes you may not have all the ideas, but you still sense peace in the air of you to move. Pastor, I never feel any peace. Pray some more and hand over things to God. Is that clear? See, Christ said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Am I making some sense? Now, see, I said number one, you pray. Number two, you meditate on that thing. You look at the bright side of it. How do I go with this? Then number three, which makes it complete, verse 9. And the things which you learn and receive and add and sow in me, this do or practice, and the God of peace will what? Now the triangle is complete. But look at me, can you help me capitalize the word learn, receive, add, and sow in me? This, the word do, all those words, learn, receive, add, sow, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, you see, you have first of all got the peace of God by not worrying, by praying and thanksgiving. But everybody knows that when things happen, you need more than yourself. I don't know if you agree with me on that. You know, even when you seem to be right, you want confirmation. Am I right? Even when you seem to know that this is not the right way to go, you still want someone to just tell you, oh, this is not the right way. After a matter of two or three, matter be established. So when you start praying over issue, you are talking to God and you want the peace of God. But you see, there's the God of peace. And to the peace going on. It's like Bill Gates come to your house and said, should I give you $10 million or stay with you with all my money? What will you say? Yarawa. Even your money will rebuild it. I'm making some sense now. So, some people have made idol out of the peace of God and they start doing crazy things with peace. Then you must learn to do something. The moment you start thinking about the matter, start asking yourself, what have I learned before? What have I received? What have I heard? What have I seen? Put it to practice. This is where people miss it. They just pray and just think, and just stay there. They will see the peace of God. He says, you shall be led forth with peace. So get to start doing something about the matter. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Some people, they fail in life. I've seen them. They are always hearing God. They never act. Pastor, I have peace in my heart that it's not. Because you never do anything. You just think that, I have peace in my God, God will meet this need. You better do some giving and receiving, do some practicing, some things you have learned, receive, heard, seen, do. Then the God of peace, you have the peace of God and the God of peace. Have I made it clear a little bit? God working with us. So we treat it with peace. Let me close like this on this issue. We can't go through our books today. Our time is really gone. Now, let me close with this word, the God of peace. Do you know why I love that final stamp? Do you know why? This is it. Chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Can you get it for us? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord of peace, who? Himself. Do what? Give you peace. Always. And in every way. You know the meaning of that? The peace will go beyond inside of you and surround you and hold the circumstances to follow the way of God. So, I want to say this to you today as I close. Peace matters most in the Christian life. I don't mean peace between IPOB and Southeast. I mean the peace of God in our lives. In fact, this peace of God will keep you going when you have not seen your miracle yet. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of peace himself. Let's look at it. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. In what? And peace. Where? In believing. That you may abound in hope. Can I close with this a little bit A-level? When you are believing God for something and you don't seem to have peace about it, you should further examine it. What did I say? If you are believing God for something, you are trusting God, that God, that money will come in, that thing will happen, and start feeling strange, you are not at peace about it, go and re-examine it. Oh, Father, I want to take that loan. I want to take that loan. I believe you for the loan. You start feeling one kind. One kind. Remember my story about the Bible I bought? Remember my story? I got the money that day in the morning. I started feeling strange and I said, mm-mm. So when you are believing God and start feeling strange and you're not, you need to go back and say, God, let's talk about this. I'm not having peace here. Is that all right? Is that all right? Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians. Let me show you how Paul did it. Hallelujah. This verse, you have seen it before in the Bible. It's amazing. Are you with me? Chapter 2, verse 12. Oh, this is interesting. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, to preach what? Is preaching the gospel something good? Something right? And a door, opportunity, was opened to me by the Lord. Please listen. Next verse. I had no rest where? Because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of the open door and the preaching, he left the place and went to Macedonia. See that? Paul puts more premium on the peace in his heart than the occupation that he was involved in. Let me close like this. One pastor, his wife was praying in the night. She just started praying. She just started feeling uncomfortable. She started feeling like somebody's life is in danger. I don't know. She's a prayer warrior. She prays, you know. So she just pray. So her husband wanted to sleep. It was Sunday night after service. Who wanted to sleep? So she just prayed. The husband said, let's sleep. So he said, let us pray. Listen to this. Let us pray. That God will take care of that problem. So they agree. And they slept. She couldn't sleep. She just kept on praying. Say, that was not settled. So the husband woke up and said, dear, you didn't sleep? He said, I don't feel all right. Somebody's. He said, okay, let us pray that whatever it is, God will take control. He doesn't want you to sleep. So they prayed again that God will take control. After the husband fell asleep, God didn't take control in their hearts. He was not feeling the peace. Then, I think maybe quite late later, she said, somebody's life is in danger. You see, the husband woke up and said, you know, let's pray. See, you have to trace the peace of God in your life. He said, okay, let us agree that whoever's life is in danger, God will show them so they can avert it or escape it. And they slept off. You hear that? See, they finally hit it. Now, their Sunday school teacher in the church was working in an oil company where they have an oil rig. In the night, he had a dream, a guy, that he went to work and they asked him to replace somebody to work. And when he got down there, it was where the oil rig is. The rope caught up there, came down and cut off his head. And his head rolled on the floor. That's in the dream. He woke up, drank water, the dream shocked him, went back to sleep and forgot the dream. Second day, he went to work. As he was working, they said, that one didn't come for work. Come and do the job. As he moved, he remembered the dream. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. Say, I'm not going anywhere. Another Christian. He said, what's that? He said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I had a dream. He said, don't worry about the dream. Let's go and do it. He went down there. He said, it was cut off. I'm not saying all this to scare you. But what I'm saying is this, that we must learn to keep praying and keep walking with God and locate peace in our life. You're going out with a person. You don't know what. You're not having peace. Just come back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and say, Father, you are the God of peace. I welcome your peace. Train me. Train me in your peace. Help me to learn this peace well. Jesus, you said, my peace, I live with you. My peace. Lord, help me to live in peace. This peace, help me to learn to let it guard my heart and my mind in these days we are living in. There are all kinds of liars, deceivers out there, wolves that want to eat us up. We need to have answers to definite issues. Lord, let your peace keep us and guide us. Let your peace guide and guard us. Let your peace guard us from the evil plans and plots of men. And let your peace guide us into our opportunities, into our blessings, into our victory. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. So, I see you over here. I see you just wake up and say, when will God do this? When will God do this? God said, leave that to me and be at peace. Leave that to me. Leave that to me. It's like somebody writing an exam. Marking it is no longer under your own jurisdiction. So let it in the hands of God. When will God do it? Stop being turned upside down, worrying, and say, Lord, you will handle this. You will handle this. Because you are big enough and you are strong enough to take care of my life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when your mind says, are you sure we'll handle it? Whatever, I don't care. My Father loves me. He knows what to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Can you open your eyes? I see someone, you know, I saw you walking. You know, if you look at this thing around here, it has an edge from here to there. I see you walking. You walk like this. You walk like this. But you come to this edge because something's going on in your life. And you wonder. God said, don't fall off. So you'll be happy for a while. Then you come to that thing again. You wonder. God said, just stop. Go to that edge. Just stop going there. Just stop going there. You know, you go there, you feel sad, you feel terrible. You think it's just your own. God said, no, your life is not your own. I own you. And I can take care of you. He said, you are hanging around there. You are taking yourself off my hands. You're going to plunge into that. In fact, I see you start taking some medications because of that issue, bothering your mind too much. I can see that. You know? It was not as bad as that before, but it's getting that worse now because it's now tormenting your soul. So God said, just step off. Just step off. God will be my boundary there. God will take care of me there. You know? Just like Abraham, the issue of childbearing come up. And you just stop the point and say, Lord, my name is Abraham. Just walk off with God. And one day, around afternoon, three men showed up. And the rest was history. The year after, I was a baby. One more thing. If you lose yourself here, God has much more than this place for you. So let's go on. There's much more. Praise God. I mean, if you lose yourself over a car, you won't have another car time to come. You have other things to do with your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, so I must find that rest to take leave. Look at next verse. Wow. Now, thanks be to God, who always, what? Leads us in triumph. He took off, following the peace. Leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, that, oh my, I love this. Thanks be to God, who always, he will not lead you to defeat, no matter what. Give us this verse in a Message Bible and an Amplified Bible. Praise God. Thanks be to God. And I got it. Thank God. In Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place. Where? In one perpetual victory parade. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. From place to place, in one perpetual victory parade. Hallelujah. Passion Bible, in that peace, you have the victory. God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Amplified Bible. Let's round up with that. Give our offering and go home. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. As what? Have you ever noticed trophies never lose the game? Teams lose the game. But trophies is always the win. Am I right? And you are not the game. You are the trophy. You know what you said? You know what you said? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I'm the trophy. I'm the trophy of Christ's victory. I'm the trophy. I'm the trophy. That means defeat is not my name. Defeat is not my portion. I'm the trophy. I am the trophy. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, intellectually, financially, I am the trophy. In my health, I am the trophy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Can you just reach out to somebody beside you? If they are not too close, just stretch forth your hands toward them and say, Father, help them to see. Help her to know. Help him to see that leadership, God's leading him in peace. Peace of God in triumph. In everything, doing well in everything. Say, Lord, I pray that you will lead this life as a trophy. Not as trouble, but trophy. We are not troubled. We are not the trouble. We are the trophy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the trophy. We are the trophies of Christ's victory. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Lift your hand. Let's give thanks to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came tonight. What about you? I'm glad I came tonight. Hallelujah.
I got peace. Let's give our offering. Like a river, I got peace. Like a river, I got peace. Like a river, I got peace. I got peace. Like a river, I got peace. Like a river, I got peace. All right. GTB is back. It's back. But my peace is intact. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. GTB, I think they are back now. Trying to do certain things. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. God is good. Oh, I'm glad I came tonight. I'm glad I came tonight. Some of you don't know, this thing also helped me too. Much as it helps you too. I'm learning as I'm talking too. Praise God. Don't worry about anything. Let's call that our golden verse tonight. It's a Ura. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, a prayer, supplications, thanksgiving, and the peace of God, then let's start thinking. Thinking well in that prayerful presence of God. And then let's act what you have learned, what you have seen, what you have received. And then the God of peace will show up mightily in our life. Let's get up and go home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we get up on our feet? Oh, Father God, thank you for you said, my peace I live with you. We grab the peace with both hands and we never let it go. We never let this peace go. We hold on to it. This peace will lead us from place to place as in perpetual victory parade of Christ. Thank you, Father. Can you do something? Whatever is storming in your life, say, peace be still. I command peace. I command peace in this area. Can you address the area in your life, whatever it is? I say, peace be still. Peace be still here. Peace be still here. Maybe your own consciousness, maybe your own mind, maybe your own emotional life. Say, peace. And stop the agitation in my mind. Stop it. Peace be still. Help is here. I will think well, and I will act well, and I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Peace. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Hallelujah. And just tell yourself, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all through this night, throughout the days coming. And this has the Lord forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Wonderful time today. God bless you. Really good.